And then when Jesus was risen back to life in his new body, and Peter sat with him on that shore, and Jesus restored him, I have a feeling that was the moment. I have no proof of that. That's just my hunch, because I believe it was in that moment when Peter confessed that I love you, Lord, more than anything else, that he was changed in that moment forever. But regardless of what time it was in Peter's life, a foul-mouthed sinner of a fisherman was changed into a leader of the church who proclaimed the gospel like no other man ever has, and eventually gives his life on a cross for Jesus, except he says, "You are not going to crucify me like that. Turn me upside down and hang me, because I am not worthy to die the way my Savior did." You see, when you're born again, you become something new, something different altogether. And just like Peter was born again, just like Peter was made new, your story, your life can change and be made new today. And then he goes on and he says, according to this great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We read this term hope, or living hope, and maybe we think, oh, he's talking about heaven, or he's talking about forgiveness, or he's talking about eternal life, or he's not talking about any of those things. Can those things bring us hope? Absolutely. Can heaven bring us hope? Can salvation bring us hope? Yes. But what Peter is telling us is this: our living hope is found not in anything, not in anyone of this planet. Our hope is found in the living, resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot understate the importance of that understanding. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ in his righteousness. If your hope is in anything in this world, if your hope is in people, if your hope is in friends, if your hope is in this church, if your hope is in money or a job or a bank account or a savings account, if your hope is in anything that is not Jesus Christ, you are living in a house of cards. Because on this earth, we can build nice houses of cards. We can start stacking up cards with money and jobs and security and friends. And it all feels so good until one day, what happens? The storm knocks it down. Do you know that story? It should come up on the screen in the book of Matthew. Everyone then, this is Jesus speaking, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Church family, if your hope is built on anything other than the rock, who is not Peter, who is Jesus Christ, if your hope is built on anything else, you're about to learn a hard lesson about a house built with cards or a house built in a riverbed. Because when the winds come and the floods come and the rain fall, if your life is not built on Jesus Christ, it will fall. Peter understood this lesson. Man, you remember all those stories I just told you about him? Peter learned this lesson over and over and over again. Peter's house was built on himself, which I think a lot of us do. We build our house on our own merit, on our own abilities, on our own work. Peter did the same thing because he was supposed to be the courageous disciple, except it seems like every time he opened his mouth, his house of cards blew away. No, Jesus, you're not going to die. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Jesus draws his sword to be the hero of the day, misses the guy's head, and nicks the guy's ear. And then if he didn't need to be humiliated anymore, Jesus picks it up and puts it back. You see, Peter's life was not built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Peter's life early on was built on his own courage, his own strength, and his own ability. But I promise you something, by the end, Peter got it. Peter knew, Peter understood that my life can be built, my hope can be in nothing less than Jesus Christ in his righteousness. And now let's look at the last thing that we're going to talk about this morning. He says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I think Peter had the same sickness that oftentimes we have. I think until Peter wrote this, I think he didn't understand the truth about Jesus Christ being the rock, being the foundation. I think Peter thought of this inheritance in the way we think of an inheritance. I appreciate John mentioning the story of the prodigal son because I was going to mention it again. When we think of the word inheritance, we think of money, things, give it to me. Lord, rain it down. I want to be rich. I want to have. I want to do on this earth. And I think Peter thought the same thing. Do you know why I think Peter thought the same thing? Because what was Peter doing after Jesus died? What did he go back to? He went back to fishing. He wasn't waiting for Jesus to come back. He went back to what he knew. He went back to what he knew could make him some money, which was fishing. But now Peter uses this word inheritance, and it is not about money. It's not about blessing on this earth. It's not about having or doing on this planet. When Peter speaks of an inheritance, church, Peter is speaking of salvation and of heaven. You see, the truth is that everything on this earth is the opposite of heaven. Everything on this earth is perishable and defiled, and it fades and it goes away. The only thing that is lasting and that is eternal is God, Jesus, the Spirit, and heaven, and the souls of those who accept great mercy, who are born again, and who understand that their hope is in Jesus alone. You see, Peter understood what inheritance was. It wasn't something he was going to receive on this planet, but it was something that he was going to get when he left this earth. Peter understood that this planet is just temporary. It's momentary. It's just a stop on the journey. And he knew that what he was going to get and what he was going to receive in heaven was eternal, perfect, and glorious. Peter's life was changed. His story was changed forever because he accepted the great mercy of Jesus Christ. He was born again. He understood that his living hope was in Christ alone and that his inheritance wasn't on this planet, but that it was in heaven to come. And this morning I want you to meet a man that I believe has a story to tell, just like Peter. His name's Daniel, and I asked him to share with you guys this morning his testimony about his life and his story from beginning to where he is today. So you want to come up?
Thank you. Morning. I'm Daniel. The other Daniel is what you might know me as. Daniel messaged me like 2 days ago and asked me to if I'd be willing to give my testimony up here. And I said, yeah, how long do I have? He messaged me back. He said 5 minutes. And I was like, you don't know me at all, do you? He said, that's why I started low. So thank you for that. That story just there with Peter Simon, that really hits home. We've talked about it in group. The restoration that God's made in my life is, I don't even know how to explain it because it wasn't any effort that I put forth to it. It was something that only God could have done. Most of my life, I would say almost all of my life up, you know, back to where I was probably 13 or 14 from there till 2014 was consumed with bad choices and drugs and addiction. And I married my wife in 2005, so she was right there along watching me destroy everything that we were trying to build together. And I don't have time to get into my entire story, but I'll say this. I guess it was 2011, and I'm just going to give you this part of the story because, like, I'm a car guy, so I look at, like, what God's done in my life, like, as fixing up an old car. Like, all those years I was abusing drugs and not caring about my family and doing those things like I was just sitting out in that field or barn just rotting, you know. And it got to a point to where God finally pulled that 72 Chevelle is what I like to think of myself as, out of that field and started to do his work on it. So in 2011, and this, like I said, there was legal issues that wasn't going to pull me out of it. There was just relationships I was destroying that wasn't going to pull me out of it because I was watching all this happen. I knew what was going on, but I just couldn't stop. And one night, my wife was working a double. She worked third shift at the time. She was working a double. And I don't even know if I've ever told her this story, but Jennifer had already left for work, and my daughter comes knocking on the bathroom door, and I'm in the bathroom doing drugs, you know, and just doing my thing. And she comes knocking on the door, and she was probably, this was 2011, so she was probably like 5 or 6 at the time. And she's like, Daddy, will you come out and play this game with me? And I'm like, yeah, hold on, Abby, I'll be out there in a minute. And, you know, I don't know how much time went by, but it was more than a minute. And then another knock on the door asking me to come back out. You know, will you come out here and play this game with me? I think it was Sorry, the game that has a little bubble that you pop it and the dice spins. And I said, Abby, I'll be out there in a minute. I'll be out there in a minute. And again, I don't know how much time went by. Next thing I know, my alarm's going off on my phone, which is telling me, hey, Jennifer's going to be home soon. You need to go act like you're asleep so you can leave and go to work. And so that alarm goes off. I open up the door, and there's Abby laying in the hallway with her blanket or pillow and that game, sitting there holding that, you know, waiting on me. And that wasn't enough to stop me. You know, I like to say that it was, but I went on for another. That was 2011. I didn't get clean until 2014. That was another 3 years, you know, that went on. And matter of fact, it took a turn for the worse after that. You know, there wasn't nothing that I could do to stop myself. And it finally got to a point to where I didn't want to live anymore. And this is hard for me to share, like, just because it brings back memories, but I think I need to get it out there because I think a lot of people get to this point, and it might not be through drugs. It might be through some other, like, you know, downfalls or mishaps in life. But, you know, I did not want to live anymore. And me and Jennifer were separated. She couldn't do it anymore. And I tried to commit suicide. I'm not going to get into, like, super detail, like, but it was a pretty serious suicide attempt where I ended up in surgery and lost the use out of my left hand for, I don't know, like, probably 5-6 months. And after that, I got an opportunity to go to a rehab in Mexico, and we lived out in Indiana at this time. I got an opportunity to go out, and I was already in a lot of trouble, okay, and then I had gotten more trouble, and then this happened, and I think that was when God finally reached into my life and was like, okay, now we're going to do something about this. Like, I think those other things that happened with my daughter and the legal issues, those were issues that happened where he was giving me that opportunity to see if I was going to pull myself out of this and follow him, and it just wasn't going to happen like that. So it was whenever the devil had me in his palm, like, ready. I mean, I shouldn't be standing here today. You know, I should be sitting next to Satan himself in hell right now. God put my brothers out in the woods that day because it wasn't like a suicide attempt that I did in front of somebody. Like, they had to find me out in the woods, pretty much unconscious, and stat flight me to U of L Hospital. And that was whenever I think God pulled my you know, pulled my chassis out of that field and then started taking me apart, pulling me in the barn, started taking me apart. And things just didn't get perfect after that. You know, I'm not perfect by any means, despite what Jennifer might tell you. That was a joke. Anyway, but things did start, I did start to see hope. And to be honest, from that, we were still married at that point. Well, I mean, we're still married now, but after that point, she had filed for a divorce, you know, like I got clean and things didn't just instantly get better. You know, like there was, like we just talked about in James, you know, with the works plus faith, there were things that I had to do for myself, but God had started to like change my heart. He started to do something in my heart that I couldn't tell you what it was. And it was, like I said, there's a lot more to my story that I could share with anybody, because I'm a pretty much an open book, but I know I don't have the time. But the point is, and what I liked hearing this story on Simon Peter was, it didn't matter how far gone down that road I was or how far lost I was. You know, if anybody was as lost and as far away from Jesus as you could get, that person was me. I had no idea how to live my life right. I had no idea how to just drop everything and follow Christ, and just because I wasn't going to do it perfect. You know, and that was my problem. Well, if I'm not going to do it perfect, I'm not even going to start, because I've already did all these things. And it was, you know, there's things I've learned through like Mike and through Daniel and through other guys in our small group that, you know, I'm learning how to be a man of God today, you know, on a daily basis. You know, there's little things that I had to change in my life that wasn't really that comfortable at first for me. But like, man, like what's coming out of it? You know what I mean? Is that car is getting restored, you know? That it's starting to happen, and it's starting to flourish in other parts of my life, you know, like with our marriage, you know, with mine and Jennifer's marriage. There's things that God's doing with that, I mean, you can ask her and you can ask my mother-in-law sitting right next to her that 4 years ago, that was just, man, it was impossible. There was no way that was going to happen, you know, and so God's been so good to us. And I'm excited. He's just got the car taken apart right now. Like, that's about it. But he's getting there. You know, he's working on me, and through that, he's working on my kids. And I'm super grateful for Woodlands. I'm glad Daniel asked me to come up here and share a little bit of my story. You know, because I think I think everybody struggles with things in life and with mishaps in life. And if it wasn't for the Christian men in my life right now, like I don't know where I would be, you know, because getting clean and just staying clean wasn't going to be enough. Like, God wanted more. God wanted more out of me, just like he wanted more out of Simon Peter whenever, you know, he came to him, you know, after all the screw-ups and all the mishaps and asked him, you know, do you love me? Do you love me? I think it was like that's the point that God wants us to get to in our lives, to effectively use us or to use us how he wants to. So, you know, I was talking to my brother, and this is just real quick. I know I don't have much time. I was talking to my brother the other day, and he's having some marital issues, which is weird that he calls me up for advice on that kind of stuff, believe me. And, you know, we were talking about that, and we were talking about, like, just the restoration of things. And I had a friend of mine call me yesterday, you know, that's struggling with his marriage, talking about divorce. And, like, these were people that I don't even know why they're calling. I still don't know why they're calling me, you know, but God's placed me in a situation that I might be able to say the right things to them. Or some of the things that I've learned, you know, because I really don't know anything. I just know what I know, you know, what I've been through in my life, and that's what I can share about. So I'm going to keep, we need prayer. You know, that's one of the things. Like, I look at the prayers that I used to, like, I don't know if they meant anything to me at the time, but I can tell you there were a lot of times where I was like foxhole prayer, like, God, get me out of this, God, do that. And I know I had family members that were praying for me on a daily basis, and honestly, I think that was part of the formula, you know, that turned my life around. So I want to thank Daniel. You know, like I said, I don't know what I'd do without these guys that teach me how to be a godly man and hold me accountable, you know, to some of my behaviors. But in order to be held accountable, like, you have to get honest also. You have to talk about the things that you're struggling with, you know, no matter what it is. You don't have to get up here and talk about it, but you find that small group of other Christians that you can trust and that you can grow with. Because that's where a lot of growth has happened in my life, you know, because I trust those guys. I can talk to those guys about any struggles, and they can do the same to me, and we build each other up on that and check in on each other on that kind of thing. And you know, that's kind of where we're at, you know, as far as that goes. So, yeah, thank you.
This guy talks about me and Mike really good, but, man, if you... If you knew him better, you would understand the blessing that he has been incredibly in the men of this church's life in a way that I can't even explain. Daniel met Jesus Christ, and his life was changed forever. Peter met Jesus Christ, and his life was changed forever. The prodigal son, the story keeps coming up every week. The prodigal son understood that I've messed up, but my only hope is in Jesus Christ. Your story, church, can change today. Daniel's story changed. Peter's story changed. The prodigal son's story has changed because they met Jesus Christ. They met the great mercy that he offers. They accepted Jesus as their Savior. They took on the great inheritance that only comes through him. And I believe in this moment, that some of you are at a place in your life where Daniel was, the prodigal was, or where Peter was. Maybe you might call yourself lost. Maybe you might call yourself a wanderer. Maybe you've never met Jesus. But I believe that some of you are in that place in your life right now where you're feeling through God's word, through the way he's speaking to you, through the way the Spirit is stirring in your life, that you know today God is calling you to change your story. I want you guys just to take a moment and just be quiet before the Lord. See what ways he would stir in your heart. See what ways he would speak to you. Think through what you've heard today in the scripture, what you've heard today through testimony. And then in a moment, I'm going to come back up and I'm going to give you an opportunity. Whether you've never met Christ, whether you're a wanderer, whether you're backslidden, it doesn't matter what place you're in, I'm going to give you an opportunity, as the prodigal did, as Peter did, as Daniel did, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come home. So I'm going to pray, and I just want you to quiet your heart and see what the Lord might do in these moments. Father, Peter's story is a powerful one. It's a story that we can all relate to. Father, the story that Daniel tells is a powerful story. A story of deep hurt and deep regret, but amazing salvation and redemption. Father, the story of the prodigal that we keep coming back to is a powerful story of a sinner that has wandered but wants to come home. Father, I know these stories are resonating in the hearts of your people. And so, Father, what I ask right now is that in these moments where we just sit and we pray and we reflect for just a moment, Father, I pray your spirit would just stir in their hearts, that you would convict them and work in them in the way that they need, because you are the only one that knows that. And Father, I pray for those in here who need to accept you, for those who need to come back, for those who have been wandering, who need to return. Father, I pray that you would give them the strength, the motivation, the conviction to today come home. So Father, take these couple of moments and work. I pray in Jesus' name.